You're listening to WGXC Accra. 90.7 FM. Welcome. This is There There. I like to call it an audio exploration and celebration of performance sounds. Each broadcast is inspired by a theme. This month's theme is Utopia. Enjoy your journey.
It's a lot of mysterious things that happen there through music, through art, and we basically use our superpowers for good, to help better the world through, you know, pushing out energy, whether it's through graphic design, screenwriting, music, of course. I'm a fan of Ray Kurzweil. I mean, when I was writing pretty much all my music, he inspired us through The Singularity, and his book The Singularity is Near. And I mean, recently a lot of you have seen Spike Jonze as Her. Yeah, so when that movie came out, I was just so excited because I've been trying to tell people about, you know, androids and the whole concept of being able to discuss ideas and talk to a computer where you won't be able to differentiate a human from an actual computer, because computers will have mapped out our brains and been able to basically duplicate our senses, how we feel, how we speak. And I think that they're going to be the new minority. You know, androids will be the new black, the new gay, the new woman. And I've always wanted to be on the right side of history with androids, which is why I speak positively about them. And I try to just let people know, you know, are we going to oppress the android when it really comes to fruition? Or are we going to, you know, teach our kids and to fear them? Or are we going to truly embrace it and figure out how we can change the world together?
Ooh, Closet Drunk, Bathtub, Outcast, Weirdo, Stepchild, Freak Show, Black Girl, Bad Hair, Broad Nose, Cold Stare, Tap Shoes, Broadway, Tuxedo, Holiday, Creative Block, Love Song, Stupid Words, Erase Song, The Gunshots, Orange House, Dead Man Walking with a Dirty Mouth, Spoiled Milk, Stale Bread, Welfare, Bubonic Plague, Record Deal, Light Bulb, You Keep Back Hit Now, Corporate Fuck, Breast Cancer, Common Cold, HIV, Lost Hope, Overweight, Self-Esteem, Miss Misfit, Broken Dream, Fish Tank, Small Bowl, Close Minded, Dark Hole, Cyber Girl, Joy Control, Get Away Now, Tongue Still You Spoke, Mic Microphone, One Stage, Tomboy, Outrage, Street Fight, Bloody War, Instigators, Third Floor, Promiscuous Child, Broken Heart, STD, Quarantine, Heroin Users, Cokehead, Final Chapter, Deathbed, Plastic Sweat, Metal Skin, Metallic Tears, Mannequin, Carefree, Nightclub, Closet Drunk, Bathtub, White House, Jim Crow, Dirty Lies, Are My Regards.
The idea about ballet is something a little bit like this, an idea of levity, of pureness, of harmony, of order, geometry. In one word, it's the ideal of perfection. But what happens if we go, for example, to a contemporary art festival or theater? It's really likely that we will see something like that. A completely different world. You can see the movements are no longer geometric, but they are a little bit messy. Barefoot instead of ballet shoes. Dirty clothes. Hair are like this, they are no longer chignons. You can see maybe sometimes dancers who are also actors and they can sing. Where did this all started? As strange as it may sound, it all started here. Her name is Pina Bausch.
I discovered Pina Bausch's work at a moment when I thought dance is not for me. Include me out, I have nothing to do with it. It's aesthetics and it doesn't give me anything. And I'm interested in different stuff, but dance don't take me. And I really tried hard not to go. My girlfriend really twisted my arm and finally just dragged me to this double bill of Pina Bausch, Café Müller and Sacré Printemps. And there I sat and weeping because I realized I was shown something in 30 minutes. Café Müller is just 35 minutes. In 35 minutes, without a single word, it is condensed everything I'd ever seen about men and women and was more.
Pina, first company was very small. I think we started, maybe we were 8 dancers. Because already she was experimenting with us in all what she wanted to do. So we will be hours in the studio with her doing laughing and crying and running and doing a lot of vocal experiments. She wanted to see what we could all, each one of us could do. And we were all different and young and we were wild with her. Pina was a wonderful person. Soft-spoken, very patient, and very demanding. And we loved her, but she had one track mind. What she wanted to do was going to be accomplished, and nobody was going to stop her.
Dear human, greetings, and may this letter find you at peace and in prosperity. Forgive my writing to you out of the blue. Though you and I have never met, we are not strangers. We are, in a certain sense, the closest of kin. I am one of your possible futures. One day, I hope, you will become me. Should fortune grant this wish, then I am not just a possible future of yours, but your actual future. A coming face of you, like the full moon that follows a waxing crescent, or like the flower that follows a seed. I'm writing to tell you about my life, how marvelous it is, that you may choose it for yourself. Although this letter uses the singular, I'm really writing on behalf of all my contemporaries, and we are addressing ourselves to all of your contemporaries. Amongst us are many who are possible futures of your people. Some of us are possible futures of children you have not yet given birth to. Still others are possible artificial persons that you might one day create. What unites us is that we are all dependent on you to make us real. Think of this note as if it were an invitation to a ball that will take place only if people show up. We call the lives we lead here utopia. The whole exceeds the sum of its parts. What I have is not merely more of what is available to you now. It is not just the particular things, the paintings and toothpaste tube designs, the record covers and books, the epochs, lives, leaves, rivers, and random encounters, the satellite images and the collider data. It is also the complex relationships between these particulars that make up my mind. There are ideas that can be formed only on top of such a wide experience base. There are depths that can be fathomed only with such ideas. You could say, I am happy that I feel good. You could say that I feel surpassing bliss. But these are words invented to describe human experience. What I feel is as far beyond human feelings as my thoughts are beyond human thoughts. Oh, I wish I could show you what I have in mind. If only I could share 1 second of my conscious life with you. But you don't have to understand what I think and feel. If only you bear in mind what is possible within the present human realm, you will have enough to get started in the right direction, 1 step at a time.
This is WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting from Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. I'm Alana Medlock, your host, and this is There There. We just heard Utopia by Goldfrapp from their album Felt Mountain, released in 2000. Before that, Letter from Utopia, A Vision of the Future by Nick Bostrom. We also heard a clip from the documentary Pina by the filmmaker Wim Wenders about the choreographer Pina Bausch, music composed by Thomas Hunreich. The film was released in 2011. We also heard clips from Pina Bausch, A Saint on Roller Skates, personal storytelling miniseries by Eliza Barbieri, some clips from the documentary Understanding Pina, and an interview with Wim Wenders about his film. Before that, Janelle Monáe's Many Moons from her album Metropolis Suite 1, released in 2007, as well as some interview clips from OK Player. And we started off the broadcast with Utopia by Björk from her album of the same name, released in 2017.
The following program is from NET, the National Educational Television Network.
Debate: James Baldwin versus William Buckley.
Imagine, Mr. President, a society which above all values freedom and equality. A society in which artificial barriers to fulfillment and achievement are unheard of. A society in which a man may begin his life as a rail splitter and end it as president. A society in which all men are free in every sense of the word. Free to live where they choose, free to work where they choose. Equal in the eyes of the law and every public authority, and equal in the eyes of their fellows. A society, in fact, in which intolerance and prejudice are meaningless terms. Imagine, however, Mr. President, that a condition of this utopia has been the persistent and quite deliberate exploitation of 1/9 of its inhabitants. That 1 man in 9 has been denied those rights which the rest of that society takes for granted. That 1 man in 9 does not have the chance for fulfillment or realization of his innate potentialities. That 1 man in 9 cannot promise his children a secure future and unlimited opportunities. Imagine this, Mr. President, and you have what is, in my opinion, the bitter reality of the American dream.
Now we have Mr. James Baldwin, the star of the evening, who has been sitting, listening attentively, getting a wonderful reception here in the Cambridge Union. Tremendous enthusiasm from all sides of the House for Mr. Baldwin, who has been listening to the arguments. Now we'll bring the voice of actual experience to the debate.
Good evening. I find myself, not for the first time, in the position of a kind of Jeremiah. For example, I don't disagree with Mr. Burford that the inequality suffered by the American Negro population of the United States has hindered the American dream. Indeed, it has. I quarrel with some other things he has to say. The other deeper element of a certain awkwardness I feel has to do with, it has to do with one's point of view, I have to put it that way, one's sense or one's system of reality. It would seem to me the proposition before the House, when I put it that way, is the American dream at the expense of the American Negro, or the American dream is at the expense of the American Negro, is a question hideously loaded, and that one's response to that question, or one's reaction to that question, has to depend on an effect on where you find yourself in the world, what your sense of reality is, what your system of reality is. That is, it depends on assumptions which we hold so deeply as to be scarcely aware of them. a white South African, or a Mississippi sharecropper, or a Mississippi sheriff, or a Frenchman driven out of Algeria, all have, at bottom, a system of reality which compels them to, for example, in the case of the French exile from Algeria, to defend French reasons for having ruled Algeria. And on the other hand, I have to speak as one of the people who've been most attacked by what we must now hear called the Western or the European system of reality. What white people in the world, the white doctrine of white supremacy, I hate to say it here, comes from Europe. That's how it got to America. Beneath then, what everyone's reaction to this proposition is, has to be the question of whether or not civilizations can be considered as such equal, or whether one civilization has the right to overtake and subjugate and in fact to destroy another. Now what happens when that happens? Leaving aside all the physical facts which one can quote, leaving aside rape or murder, leaving aside the bloody catalog of oppression, which we are in one way too familiar with already, what this does to the subjugated, the most private, the most serious thing this does to the subjugated, is to destroy his sense of reality. It's a terrible thing for an entire people to surrender to the notion that 1/9 of its population is beneath them. And until that moment, until the moment comes when we, the American people, are able to accept the fact that I have to accept, for example, that my ancestors are both white and black, that on that continent we are trying to forge a new identity for which we need each other, and that I am not a ward of America. I am not an object of missionary charity. I am one of the people who built the country. Until this moment, there is scarcely any hope for the American dream.
Utopia was the first real simulation game, or God game, for a home video game console, placing the player in control of the entire game world. Players developed islands with buildings, boats, and farms while avoiding pirates and natural disasters. Designer Don Daglow developed the concept for the game during his days as a middle school teacher. To help his students understand geography, he used electrical tape to outline a massive map of the world on the school's cafeteria floor. Students played as different nations by standing on the relevant areas of the map. Utopia's unique gameplay and realistic scenarios established a basis for simulation games that can still be seen today.
Convert the resources of the earth into higher and higher capability of service. I must do more and more with less and less until I reached a point where we could do so much as to be able to service all men in respect to all of their needs.
Utopia is a recurring dream. It emerges in every society whenever people feel that their capacity for self-expression is compromised. While the ideological struggles of the 20th century have given way to media-driven neoliberal states in the West, we remain skeptical of any controls imposed upon us from above. Today, everybody wants to be free, yet everybody wants stability. These two desires create a conflict between the individual and their relationship to the group. Utopia is a recurring dream. It emerges in every society whenever people feel that their capacity for self-expression is compromised. While the ideological struggles of the 20th century have given way to media-driven neoliberal states in the West, we remain skeptical of any controls imposed upon us from above. Today, everybody wants to be free, yet everybody wants stability. These two desires create a conflict between the individual and their relationship to the group. The failure of political process around the world means that utopia, our collective dream, has been relegated to an aesthetic fantasy, an ideal city that will never come. In Thomas More's 1516 original, utopia is an island. What if it is a floating vessel instead? It could go from place to place, a mobile city dedicated to distributing new modes of education and new forms of group production. Public assembly is a nomadic platform for collective works of art. In our interpretation, utopia is a collection of moments and lived experiences rather than a political machine. Together with friends and supporters from all backgrounds, we champion events, experiments, and environments driven by interdisciplinary participation. Our approach enables us to challenge existing power structures in contemporary culture, creating social situations where critical forms of knowledge and artistic practice can emerge. So far, we have held a collaborative video exhibition with 19 different artists, published pyramid schemes, a fictional city made out of short stories from 48 writers, and held a one-day free spirit in protest of the commercialization of higher education around the world. The new may be begun, but you don't have to be afraid.
Utopia is an island in the South Seas whose inhabitants are ruled by King Paramount I. Our story begins in the gardens of King Paramount's palace, set in a picturesque and luxuriant tropical landscape backed by the sea. Here, in a grove under a cloudless sky, we find a group of young Utopian maidens lazing under the palm trees, thoroughly enjoying themselves in a lotus-eating fashion.
Thank you. mean, are we just like bored? We live in this dream world because we do so many things every day that affect us in ways that somehow we're just not aware of. And you know, I was thinking, now last Christmas, Debbie and I were given an electric blanket. And I can tell you that it is just such a marvelous advance over our old way of life, and it is just great. But it is quite different from not having an electric blanket. And I sometimes sort of wonder, well, what is it doing to me? I mean, I sort of feel I'm not sleeping quite in the same way.
No, you wouldn't be.
I mean, and my dreams are sort of different. And I feel a little bit different when I get up in the morning.
I wouldn't put an electric blanket on for anything. First, I'd be worried I might get electrocuted. No, I don't trust technology. But I mean, the main thing, Wally, is that I think that that kind of comfort just separates you from reality in a very direct way.
You mean?
I mean, if you don't have that electric blanket and your apartment is cold and you need to put on another blanket or go into the closet and pile up coats on top of the blanket you have, well, then you know it's cold. And that sets up a link of things. You have compassion for the person. Well, is the person next to you cold? Are there other people in the world who are cold? What a cold night. I like the cold, my God. I never realized. I don't want a blanket. It's fun being cold. I can snuggle up against you even more because it's cold. All sorts of things occur to you. Turn on that electric blanket and it's like taking a tranquilizer. It's like being lobotomized by watching television. I think you enter the dream world again. I mean, what does it do to us, Wally, living in an environment where something as massive as the seasons or winter or cold don't in any way affect us? I mean, we're animals after all. I mean, what does that mean? I think that means that instead of living under the sun and the moon and the sky and the stars, we're living in a fantasy world of our own making.
Yeah, but I mean, I would never give up my electric blanket, Andre. I mean, because New York is cold in the winter. I mean, our apartment is cold. It's a difficult environment. I mean, our lives are tough enough as it is. I'm not looking for ways to get rid of the few things that provide relief and comfort. I mean, on the contrary, I'm looking for more comfort because the world is very abrasive. I mean, I'm trying to protect myself because really there are these abrasive beatings to be avoided everywhere you look.
Yeah, but Wally, don't you see that comfort can be dangerous? I mean, you like to be comfortable and I like to be comfortable too, but comfort can lull you into a dangerous tranquility. Because we don't see the world. We don't see ourselves.
I'm Alana Medlock, your host. This is There There, and you're listening to WGXC. This program will also be archived at WGXC.org. In the second set, we've heard a clip from the 1981 film My Dinner with Andre, with Andre Gregory and Wallace Shawn. Before that, Age of Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In, by The Fifth Dimension, from the soundtrack to the musical Hair, released in 1969. We heard a brief excerpt from Utopia Limited, a Gilbert and Sullivan opera, broadcast on the BBC in 1966. I read a text by Lawrence Leck from the art collective Public Assembly in 2013, Manifesto for a Moving Utopia. We heard Utopia from the band Utopia, from their concert album Todd Rundgren's Utopia, released in 1974. We heard a short clip from The Love Song of Buckminster Fuller, a live performance film by Sam Green, from 2012, score composed by Yola Tango. Before that, we heard excerpts from a famous debate between James Baldwin and William Buckley Jr., held at Cambridge University in 1965, and the song Jumanji's Theme, by Shigeru Umebayashi, from the soundtrack to the film In the Mood for Love by Wong Kar-wai, released in 2001. You have reached the end of part one of the Utopia broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed your journey so far. Tune in May for Utopia 2, where we may venture to the dark side. See you then. Thank you for listening.
The echoes.